think the whole world's addicted to the drama. Only attracted to things that'll bring the trauma. Overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism, but we still got terrorists here living in the USA, the big CIA, the Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. But if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate. And to discriminate only generates hate. And when you hate, then you're bound to get irate. Yeah, madness is what you demonstrate. And that's exactly how anger works and operates. Man, you gotta have love to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all, y'all.
People killing, people dying, children hurting, hidden and crying. Can you practice what you preach? And would you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us. Send some guidance from above. These people got me questioning. Where is the love?
Where is the love? Where is the love?
We living in, people keep on giving in, making wrong decisions, only visions of the dividends, not respecting each other, denying thy brother, a war's going on, but the reason's undercover, the truth is kept secret, it's swept under the rug, if you never know truth, then you never know love, what's the love, y'all, come on,
I don't know,
where's the truth, y'all, come on,
I don't know,
what's the love, y'all,
people killing, people dying, children hurting, crying. Practice what you preach, but you turn the other cheek. Father, 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 help us. Send guidance from above. These people got me questioning. Where is the love?
Where is the love? Where is the love? Where is the love?
Last week, we began a series from the book of Habakkuk. A series that is titled Making Sense of Today's News. And I spoke about December. I don't know where that came from. September 11th, 2001, about 11 and a half years ago, when the terrorists took these airplanes and they flew them into the World Trade Centers. We talked about the wars that have taken place in Afghanistan and Iraq and recently in southern Lebanon and the stuff that's taking place in Syria. I mentioned how more recently on our own soils, December 12th, maybe that's where it came from. December 12th was when the shootings took place. A guy goes into the mall in Clackamas and shoots two adults and kills them and shoots and wounds a teenager. And then 2 days later on the 14th in Connecticut in Sandy Hook, a guy goes into a school and shoots and kills 20 innocent children and six adults there. And then on December 24th, in New York, a guy actually calls in and sets his house on fire and calls in and reports this fire. And while the firefighters, the volunteer firefighters are responding to this, he ambushes them and shoots and kills two of them and shoots two others that are wounded. Then there are all kinds of other things. Somebody was telling me that there was a shooting last night just down the street here. And there was one earlier this week down in California. At a school where a guy took a shotgun and because he'd been bullied, he shot somebody and the teachers were able to get him to put the shotgun down. You know, and you have all kinds of natural disasters. We have earthquakes and droughts and floods and all kinds of things taking place. But in light of all of that information, we ask the question, how should we think about these events? How do you make sense of today's news? And how does today's news fit into the grand scheme of history? And as we try to answer these questions, we look to the Old Testament book of Habakkuk to try to find those answers. You see, much like us, Habakkuk had questions. He had many questions about the events that were taking place around him. Some of the questions that he raised were, is God in charge of today's news? And if he is, why do things happen the way that they do? And in dealing with these questions, the prophet Habakkuk, he speaks directly to our own times in light of today's news. Now, we don't know much about the prophet Habakkuk personally, only that during the early time of his life, There was some great spiritual reform that was taking place. God was doing some great things with the people. under the leadership of the boy king Josiah. But Josiah died around 609 BC, and spiritual decline started to set in. Judah reverted to these ungodly and worldly ways. You see, that's the background of Habakkuk. And that helps us to understand why Habakkuk raised the questions that he did in verses 1 through 4 about his complaint of the spiritual and the moral decay in the nation that was going on around him. And then after a long period of time, we don't know how long, but after a long period of time, the Lord finally gives him an answer in verses 5 through 11. But you know, the Lord's answer was totally unexpected by Habakkuk. He learns that a foreign, ungodly nation, the Babylonians, were going to come in and bring about God's judgment against the people of Judah. With that said, what I'd like to do is read for you again from Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And you can follow along right here if you want. Or if you have your Bibles, you can follow along there as well. It reads like this. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet received. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence, strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. Be amazed. For I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. Dreaded people, they are a law to themselves and promote their own. Their horses are a vulture swooping to devour. They all come bent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like sand. They deride kings and they scoff at rulers. They laugh at all fortified cities. They build earthen ramps and capture them. Then they sweep past like the wind and go on. Guilty men, whose own strength is their God. If you have your handout, I'm not going to answer all the questions on the first side of that handout, because those we covered last week. And if you don't have them and you need them, I can get them to you. Or if you look on our the church's website, they are there. It was we covered the last half once we get to it. But last week, the first statement we covered is God's ways are often mysterious. And we see that in several ways. First, we see that God's ways are mysterious regarding his inaction. See, sometimes God seems strangely silent and inactive in some circumstances. The second, God's ways are often mysterious regarding his unexpected providences. Sometimes God gives us unexpected answers to our prayers. And the third way is that God is mysterious regarding his, God uses strange instruments to correct or to help steer the course of his people. He speaks to us in different ways. The main point of last week was that we have to recognize the weakness and the impotence of the church. And even of our own Christian lives. See, we have not been faithful to God. We have ignored God's word. We have neglected prayer. We have trampled on God's Sabbath. We have failed to evangelize. We have stopped caring about lost people. We have become dead and flat and lukewarm. So much so that the world cannot tell the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. And as we closed last week, I challenged each one of us to spend some time this past week. Do you remember what that challenge was? The challenge was, how do we, is there a spot where we as a church, and maybe even we as individuals, need to repent? Is God steering us or directing us in a spot where we need to repent of something? Is there anybody who's actually spent some time who would be brave enough to share? I know I have. Anyone, anything you thought of, either as a church or as an individual, a place where we need to repent, where God is trying to call us back. I got two. One is us as a church. I think as a church, we're good at talking the talk, but we don't always walk it. We talk about how we're a people of prayer, and yet we don't spend time in prayer. We don't spend a concerted amount of time. We don't have concerts of prayer. We don't spend a lot of time praying that, that God would truly guide and direct us. Maybe we do in our individual lives, but even as a corporate body, we don't spend a lot of time. We did years ago. We had a 24-hour vigil where people were actually here for a 24-hour period taking shifts and praying. We talk about how prayer is important to us, and yet we don't do it. If we're going to do anything, if we're going to go anywhere, if we're going to move, then it has to be bathed in prayer. I have to pray before it, pray during it, pray after it. It has to be covered with prayer. I think as a church, somehow we need to get back to prayer and make it a focus as we get to God. Me personally, where I'm at with it, a place where I struggle or a place where I need to repent is I get, and I've said it before, I get so busy doing that I don't have time being. I get so wrapped up in doing things. I'm a doer. I love being busy. I love working. And I get so busy from before the sun's up and until way into the night when the sun goes down and all kinds of stuff. I get so busy doing all kinds of stuff. The one thing I don't do is spend time with God. So busy doing, I don't be with God. And I need to somehow figure out how to clear something out and not do something so I can be somebody, be a child of God. I don't know how to do it because I'm so busy doing. But that's where I personally need to find a way to turn around, a way to repent and to spend time being. Maybe you can continue to think about it. There's a spot where we need to repent. We need to come back. But let's move on. Move on to today's message. The second statement of fact. Because not only are God's ways mysterious, which we spoke about last week, but God's ways are often misunderstood. And Pastor Frank, you don't really know this, but the little devotional you shared, I was back there laughing because it goes right along with the message today. And you'll see it in just a little bit here. See, God's ways are often strange and perplexing to us. And they're misunderstood by more than just one type of person. The first is that God's ways are often misunderstood by careless Christians. In Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 5, God referred to the people in Judah, those who had become religious and slack. And this is what he had to say. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. See, their attitude, the people's attitude was, here is this prophet telling us that God is going to use the Babylonians, as if God could do anything like that. God would never use those godless pagans to chastise us, his chosen people. The whole idea is just impossible. But you know, that is exactly what God did. See, the trouble with Judah was that they never believed God's prophets. You know, people often don't believe God's preachers either. The most significant illustration of that can be found in the book of Acts, chapter 13, where the apostle Paul, he actually quoted Habakkuk chapter 1:5. And then he applied it to the people that he was sitting with, the people that he was talking with, the people that he was preaching to in his sermon in Pisidian Antioch. Paul declared in his sermon, in effect, and this is roughly what he had to say, no, you will not believe any more than your fathers did, because Israel has not recognized Jesus Christ as God's only Savior, has even crucified him, and now refuses to believe his gospel. God is at last going to act in judgment. He is going to raise up the Roman power to sack and destroy your temple, and you yourselves will be cast out among the nations. I know you will not believe this, for the prophet Habakkuk has already prophesied it, and you are continuing to ignore his message. But you know, inevitably, the year 70 AD came. The Romans surrounded Jerusalem and destroyed it, and the Jews were cast out among the nations. careless Christians often do not believe God's preachers. They say, God will never do such a thing. But I'm reminding you today that God does act, and he can do it if he wants. God may very well be using terrorism or these senseless acts of violence, earthquakes and natural disasters, to awaken his own people, to teach us a lesson, to find a way to draw us back to him. And we dare not go on any longer being apathetic. We must not say that that's unthinkable, that God could use such an instrument around his feeble people, because he can and he does. Second, God's ways are often misunderstood by non-Christians. In verse 11, God says of the Babylonians, then they sweep past like the wind and go on, guilty men whose own strength is their God. See, the Babylonians, they failed to see, failed to understand that God was using them. They credited all their success to their own strength. But God was soon to demonstrate that it was not so, and that he had raised them up so that he could cast them down. Non-Christians, even more than careless Christians, fail to understand God's ways. It is a mystery to them. Those arrogant powers which have been used by God for his own purposes at various times in history, they have always prided themselves on their own achievements. Did you know that the modern world prides itself on its own achievements? Basically in every realm. Because non-Christians, they are out there, and they look and they see Christians who are floundering and struggling. And they themselves, the non-Christians, are rising up and getting power and doing great things. And they credit all of that to themselves. But they fail to understand that the true meaning of today's news. See, great powers have been raised up, and they have ruled for a while. But they have become drunk on their own success, and suddenly they find themselves cast down by God. The real significance of today's news never, ever dawns on them. And third, God's ways are often misunderstood by the prophet himself. God's ways were baffling even to the prophet Habakkuk himself. But his reaction was very different. His question was how to reconcile all of what God was doing with what he knew about the character of God. So he cries out in verses 2-4. And I love this. I can just hear his pain and hear where he's at. I can feel his struggle. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? And have you ever been there? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked, they hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. I feel the same way a lot of times. It's amazing. And then later on, God made it perfectly clear to Habakkuk what he was doing. But initially, even the prophet had no clue. He was puzzled. So what can we learn? What can we learn from Habakkuk in this situation? There are four things. The first, today's news is under God's control. We see this in God's reply to Habakkuk, where he said, I am raising up the Babylonians. Every nation on earth is under the hand of God. There is absolutely no authority or government that is not ultimately controlled by God. Things are not what they appear to be. You know, it seemed that the military strength of the Babylonians brought them to their power. But it wasn't so. God had raised them up. God is the Lord of today's news. He is seated on his throne, and all the nations of the earth and all authorities are under his sovereign rule. The Bible asserts that God is over all. He started today's news, he is continuing today's news, and he will end today's news. We must never, ever lose sight of that crucial truth. Second thing to learn is that today's news follows God's plan. The events that take place each day are not accidental, even though they seem that way to us. The events of today's news follows God's plan. There is a purpose in today's news. And what is happening in the world around us today? All of these events of terrorism and of war, the natural disasters that take place, they're not accidents. What may very well be a surprise to us, and the shock that we feel when somebody goes in and shoots up a bunch of people, or when an earthquake and a tsunami sweeps over and decimates the land, it's a surprise to us, but it's not a surprise to God. And here's the really important thing to remember. Christ's church is at the center of God's plan. See, Christ is not building up America or building up Iraq or building up China. No, he's building up his church in America, his church in Iraq, his church in China, his church in all the world. And the gates of hell will never prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. The gates of hell will never, ever prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. And that's important to remember that. It is the church that is at the center of God's plan for history. And furthermore, God is calling the church to repentance. The proper response to what is happening in the world is to repent of our sins. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he preached at the outbreak of World War II. And he was talking about the calamity, and here's what he had to say. This is a real test of our beliefs and of our faith. Without a doubt, we have, all of us, been slack for various reasons. And the first call upon us is to repentance. I have no doubt that we need to repent as a church and as individuals for our slackness, for our flatness, for our lukewarmness, the things of God. Third, today's news follows God's timetable. This comes out of several places in Habakkuk's prophecy. For example, verse 5, where God says, "For I am going to do something in your days." Today's news is not only under God's control and God's plan, but it also follows God's timetable. And fourth, today's news is bound up in God's kingdom. The key to the history of the world is the kingdom of God. The story of the nations in the Bible, you know, the ones that you read when you're flipping through the Old Testament, all those stories, they're only relevant as it bears upon Christ's church. What really matters is God's kingdom. So let's not get caught off guard when surprise events take place in the world around us. Rather, ask ourselves, what is the relevance of this event to the kingdom of God? Or if something strange is happening, some unusual providence is taking place, ask yourself, what is God trying to teach me through this? What do I need to correct? Or how can I change my course, steer differently? Why is God allowing these things to happen to me? See, there is a meaning in God's dealing with all of us. If we will just pause and look for it. You need never ever doubt the love of God. If God were so unkind that he answered some of our prayers immediately and the way that we wanted, we'd be much worse off because of it. But fortunately, God sometimes delays his answer in order to deal with something in our lives, something that needs to take place, something that maybe shouldn't be there that needs to be corrected. See, he is concerned about us, and he intends to equip us for more useful service in his kingdom. Back in 1975, some of you can remember that, some of you weren't even born. That's when I became a Christian. I was getting ready to start junior high. And in the summer, there was another young man. We went to school together, and we both became Christians the same summer. And we grew up through middle school and through high school. And he was like a super Christian. I mean, he could play the guitar and sing, and he was one of the leaders of the group. And here I was, young me, growing up through this, wondering, doubting sometimes, even if I was a Christian. No, there were no fancy lights, no great big things happened when I became a Christian. And yet he was growing, and here I was struggling. And I would often, many, many times, I would pray, God, I want to be just like him. Why am I not growing like him? How come he is doing all this stuff and he's super Christian, here I am struggling? And I prayed and prayed that God would allow me to be just like him. Here it is some, I don't know, 30-something years later. That young man went into seminary and became a minister. And he got married. And now he is divorced, no longer in the church. We can debate the theology of this if you want. I would even say he's probably not even a Christian anymore. He definitely isn't walking. He knows it all. He studied it all. But he's completely turned away. He is living an active homosexual lifestyle. Just think if God had answered my prayers way back then. But God knew something. And what he was doing was he knew that I needed slow growth so that my roots could go deep, so that I could hang on. We should therefore judge every event that takes place in light of God's great, eternal, and glorious purpose.